Welcome back to our series, How to Triage Cancer. I'm Loriana Hernandez-Aldama, the proud founder of Arm Rep for Life. We are a nonprofit organization that amplifies the patient voice to how to make more patients possible. And joining me, we are doing this whole series in partnership with Triage Cancer and the two rockstar attorneys that I adore, and they're doing amazing work with Triage Cancer. They are the founders. We have Monica Bryant and Joanna Morales joining us again. Last time we talked to you about how having adequate health insurance coverage is the most effective way to minimize the financial burden of a cancer diagnosis, but health insurance is confusing. So today we're going to talk about how does one figure this out, because the financial toxicity when you go through cancer is so much, and it can take a toll on your financial well-being, but also your mental well-being, your physical well-being. And so they are here to help. So Monica, I want to start with you. How does the average person figure this out and navigate it?
It is so confusing. It is like learning a new language, but nobody but us is actually teaching what this language is. We often joke that there should be a class in high school on health insurance and finances. Stuff we all need to know, but no one ever teaches us. And then now you're faced with a cancer diagnosis and having to learn this new language. And so there are some key terms that are really useful for everybody to understand. And we certainly have lots of resources at triagecancer.org to help people understand these different terms. But for today, I really just wanted to highlight two of them. So the first is your monthly premium. And this is what you're going to pay every single month just to have health insurance. And you pay that amount whether you go to the doctor or not. It's like having car insurance all year, but never getting into an accident or filing a claim.
And then we have this magical phrase that I heard so many times during leukemia and breast cancer battles, out-of-pocket maximum. So let's talk about that, because cancer patients, we know we cringe when we hear that.
Generally speaking, the out-of-pocket maximum is the most that somebody's going to have to pay for their health care in the year. And the way that you get to that is by adding up everything you pay out of pocket for your co-payments and your co-insurance and your deductible. So it's everything except those monthly premiums. Now, it is so valuable to understand what your out-of-pocket maximum is and how your policy defines out-of-pocket maximum, because it then allows us to plan for a worst-case scenario.
Joanne, I want to send it to you. How do you actually pick a plan?
Well, you need to know what the monthly premium is going to be for a particular plan option, and you also need to know what the out-of-pocket maximum is for that particular plan. And the way that you figure out what a plan is actually going to cost you by the end of the year is that you take the monthly premium and you multiply it by 12 for 12 months, because that's how much it's going to cost you to have the plan for the year. And then you add that to the out-of-pocket maximum, because that's the most that you're going to pay out-of-pocket for your medical costs during the year. And that final number is what your actual cost for your medical care and your health insurance is going to be for the year. Now, the problem is that most people don't understand out-of-pocket maximums. So when they're shopping for health insurance coverage, they're often just focusing on that monthly premium. But oftentimes, plans that have higher monthly premiums actually have lower out-of-pocket maximums. And so sometimes those plans that appear to be more expensive based on their monthly premium can end up saving you thousands of dollars by the end of the year, because of that lower out-of-pocket maximum.
So you're saying to somebody that, and I just explained this to someone going through cancer, you might have to pay more upfront, but long-term, and I'll just pick a random number, but let's say it's going to be $1,000 a month upfront, but long-term you may pay less in the out-of-pocket maximum. If you choose to pay less, then it could keep adding and adding and adding, and long-term over that course of the year could be a lot more of a financial burden for yourself.
Absolutely. That's exactly the problem. And so we want people to understand how to actually do this math, because the math matters in any type of plan that they're looking at. So you could be using this math problem to actually figure out your options if you're shopping in the marketplace. You can use this example if you're comparing different options that your employer gives you. You can also compare what your employer gives you to what's available to you in the marketplace. Or if you have Medicare, you can compare your Medicare plan options using this same type of math problem.
I also say to people, when you're choosing your plan, nobody ever thinks they're going to get cancer. We all walk, not all of us, but many of us, I did, walked around thinking I was invincible. And so when you're choosing that, you're like, oh, I'm in great health. I eat clean. Nothing's going to happen to me. So you're not thinking about crunching those numbers. But the reality is, as I say, it's not always a matter of if something's going to happen. It's a matter of when. And we're really preparing ourselves so we could present well, physically, financially, mentally, when our world turns upside down with something. So I think it's important to take these great facts that both of you are providing and think about it, even if you're not affected by cancer and you're watching, and think about that, right? When you're looking of how would this impact you if you had cancer?
Exactly. I think part of the thing that we forget about is insurance is for something that might happen. We're preparing ourselves in case something were to happen. So oftentimes people who are healthy think, oh, I'm just going to buy the lowest cost insurance because I'm never going to reach my out-of-pocket maximum because I don't get any medical care. But we don't usually get advance warning before a cancer diagnosis. And so the idea of having insurance is in case something were to happen, you have that coverage. And that's really where we see so much financial toxicity, is that people have plans that are not adequate for their medical care. And so they end up having to pay so much more money out of pocket for those high out-of-pocket maximums.
Well, being a journalist and literally living at Johns Hopkins where you're battling leukemia, I filed reports from my bedside and I've talked to so many patients and they would always say, well, I always said to myself, well, I never get sick. And that's not everybody, but it was such a common theme. And people didn't plan ahead. So I encourage people who are watching to go check out all the information on Triage Cancer that they have on their website, because you don't know when something may happen to you, small or large. And it is best to get prepared. It is my whole mantra for Armor Up for Life. There's other things, Monica, if you want to jump in to consider about deductibles, the networks, the formularies.
Well, Joanna walked you through how you figure out what the total annual cost is going to be by understanding your annual amount for premiums and your out-of-pocket maximum. But you also have to make sure that you've checked that the policy you've chosen covers the providers that you want to see. So the doctors and the hospitals and the labs. And that's important for two reasons. The first is that many policies won't cover providers that are out of network at all. And if they do cover them, they're going to cover them at a lower rate. It's also important because many policies, when they're figuring out an out-of-pocket maximum, they're only going to count payments towards in-network providers. So this is so key. And I think for those of us that work in this space every single day, sometimes it sounds like everyone would know this information. But I think honestly, the average consumer of health insurance doesn't stop to think, I need to check that my existing providers are in this plan's network.
That is great advice. So you're saying if you could make the time to call some of those doctors that you want to continue care with and say, hey, this is what insurance plan I'm going to have going forward. Are you on this list? So you're going to have to do some research, or somebody will, if you can't do it because you're busy fighting cancer.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely takes some legwork. There are some tools on the online marketplace that can be useful, but ultimately we think it is always good to check with the provider and to use the exact plan name when they are calling their provider. But you know, I sometimes talk to people and they say basically what you're saying, right? Like that it's an added thing to do when you're in the middle of fighting cancer. And I agree, it's a lot. It's a lot even if you're not in the middle of fighting cancer. But I often find people will spend more time researching their next washer and dryer than they do their health insurance policy. And when we think about how many people in America utilize health insurance, that's a little bit scary. But the good news is that picking a health insurance policy, you don't just get one shot at this. We actually have the opportunity to change our plans every single year. And so the time of year that you're allowed to do that is going to depend on whether you have an employer policy or a marketplace plan or Medicare, but every single year we get to make choices. And while that could be seen as an additional chore we have to do every single year, I think it's also an opportunity, especially for those people who maybe didn't pick the best plan for them because they didn't think they were going to need it and now do.
Absolutely. It is worth the time and the effort, especially if you can do it while you're healthy, before anything happens, and while you're of sound mind and you have the time and the energy, do it then so you are well informed when it happens. So if someone picks a plan with the lowest out-of-pocket cost that covers their providers and their prescription drugs, then they're set, right? And they can stop worrying is what most people would like to say. Okay, I can just kick back and hopefully nothing happens.
I mean, assuming that they watched this and looked at all of our other materials and knew exactly how to pick the most appropriate plan for them, then sure. But it's still worth the time to look every single year and make sure that the plan they're choosing for the next year still meets their needs. And this can go both ways. So it could be that somebody now has a cancer diagnosis and so maybe wants to pick a different plan that covers different providers or different prescription drugs because now they're taking drugs for their cancer. Or it could be maybe that somebody's out of active treatment for cancer and maybe they need different things now. And so that's what I was talking about in terms of the flexibility every single year that we can now look to the year ahead and make different choices.
Let me jump in with a few scenarios. If I have lost my, if I did not lose my job during the pandemic, but, and can I just switch insurance right now because I want to, because I need to save money? Times are tough.
If you have an employer plan, there are some different rules about how you can get access to the marketplace and qualify for that financial assistance. But we're never required to take the health insurance coverage that our employers offer us. So you can choose not to accept that coverage, either because it's more expensive or maybe it doesn't cover your providers, and then go to the marketplace and see if there's a plan that's available to you that does cover your providers or is less expensive. So you're always able to do that. The question is just whether or not you actually qualify for the financial assistance. And we definitely have some information about how you figure that out on our website.
So does this apply to COBRA? And we might be jumping ahead for the next episode. If you or your spouse is between jobs and you're on COBRA, does that apply where you can say, hey, I need to go back and revisit the marketplace and try to get something cheaper? Or if you can't pay that whole thing?
Normally, if you accepted COBRA and you decided you couldn't pay for it, you'd actually have to wait till the next open enrollment period to pick up a marketplace plan. And we're definitely going to talk about COBRA and other options for losing health insurance coverage through an employer in our next episode and the financial assistance that's available to help pay for COBRA.
And that was my next line. So thank you, Joanna, for helping me out. Options when losing your health insurance is part of our next episode. So in the meantime, if you want to check out more information about these topics we're discussing and what we're going to discuss, go to Triage Cancer. It's triagecancer.org and cancerfinances.org.